This is the No More Wasted Days podcast, and we're your hosts, Sarah Kaufman Bradstreet
and Heather PG. Grab your favorite NA drink and listen as we share vulnerable stories so you never feel alone on your alcohol-free journey.
And gain insights from us as we break down our most used tips and strategies that have kept us alcohol-free.
It's time to break free from wasting any more of your days to the drinking, blackout, hangover cycle.
Welcome to another episode of the No More Wasted Days podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Sarah.
And I'm Heather.
And we have an amazing episode planned for you guys today. We're going to be talking all about the buzz. And I know Heather is excited.
I am so excited about this topic. I really encourage y'all to stay with us because there's a lot of information at the end that's going to be really helpful.
Yeah. And not only are we going to talk about how the buzz happens, because I think the more you know about what alcohol is doing to your brain and body, the more powerful it makes you feel on your alcohol-free journey and saying, hey, I'm saying no to this thing that does all of these crazy things to your brain, which you're going to find out. But then we're also going to give you tips on how to recreate the buzz in a healthy way. And you're obviously not going to feel the buzz the same way you would with alcohol, but it gives you those tools and strategies that you need. So definitely stick with us. It's one where you might want to listen to it a few times to get all these tips and strategies, or else have some notes, some way to take notes handy as we go through.
Yeah, I think that this particular topic is incredibly empowering.
So yeah, I do too.
Let's go.
All right. Before we dive in, did you want to give any updates on life stuff, or are you kind of like
I am ready to roll, but I do want to say that I'm like day 20-something off Sour Patch Kids. And the past two nights, I have looked at my spouse and said, I miss Sour Patch Kids. I'm grieving my, because they were part of my nighttime routine.
Yeah.
I'm grieving life. My sugar addiction to Sour Patch Kids. That's all.
I feel for you. I totally feel for you. It is rough. Those things that we do that are part of our life. And even though we know they're not healthy, they're there. And, you know, you're doing awesome, though, into the 20s.
Let's get into the topic. We don't have to do life updates. I just wanted to say that.
And I don't have too much happening except for our house is going to close. Like we are, it's cleaned out in Oregon and we are ready to put all of our focus into our house build so we can finish this dang house that I actually record in each week. Let's turn it into a real house that people live in and not a built site. So that's really all I've got for everybody. And I feel like stress is lower. And February was a shit show.
Dumpster fire.
We can move on. So I'm excited. It's a feeling. I feel like it's a feeling for a lot of people. I've heard it in the Daymakers. I've heard it with just friends, family. So I think we're all ready to roll.
Yeah, definitely. Right.
We will dive into the topic, but super quick, I did mention the Daymakers community. Remember, you can always join us in the community. I always put the link in the show notes. So check that out if you need an online community of like-minded people who are on an alcohol-free journey or a sober curious journey. Hop in, try it out for a week and see if it's for you. That's all I'll say so we can just get into this topic. All right. So first thing we're going to talk all about is just how does the buzz happen? And I really try to educate myself as much as I can on the effects of alcohol, the real scientific effects of alcohol, because they are something that motivated me so much when I first took on this alcohol-free journey. And I want to know as much as I can so I can deliver it to all of you in an efficient way, in a way that makes sense to everybody. So I have been reading the book called Drink. It's Drink? So Drink by Professor David Nutt. And you can look that up, and I will actually put a link to it in the show notes, too. It is very scientific. There are no stories in it. It is just, here is what alcohol does to you. So we're going to dive into what happens when you drink alcohol. The first thing you need to know is it's a super small molecule, so it absorbs super quickly into your bloodstream, and you start to feel the buzz pretty quickly. That's one thing that I always noticed with alcohol. It would get those effects to me that I was looking for pretty instantaneous. And within the first 5 to 10 minutes, you start to feel a little warm or flush. And that's because you're going through a process called vasodilation, where alcohol allows the blood vessels in your skin to open.
I think this is just absolutely fascinating. I love science. And when I started to learn about this, I was just like, what?
Yeah. And I love to, we're going to go through like step by step of what happens throughout the buzz. And I want you to keep track because alcohol is like doing, I believe, 3 or 4 different drugs. So when you've got the people who are saying like alcohol isn't too bad, or drugs and alcohol, it's drugs and drugs. And alcohol takes on the form of many drugs. So as I'm going through, you're going to hear me refer to those. And it really is to empower you and go, oh, I don't need that in my life anymore. So the next effects that start to happen, first, you have those physical effects. You're having the blood vessel dilation. Would that be the right word? It was vasodilation. You have that happening. But then alcohol starts to affect a lot of different receptors in your brain and the majority of the neurons. So it's just going to go to town on your brain. And the first thing that it does is it starts turning on the calming GABA system. And this is the neurotransmitter that works to put your brain to sleep. Alcohol works similar to Valium in this way. So it's like you've already taken your first drug and you're going to start feeling that calming feeling. And that's why a lot of us drink to cure the anxious feelings. But when we turn off this neurotransmitter, it also starts to turn off other areas of our brain that control our judgment and, in extreme cases, consciousness. So this is actually how people die from alcohol poisoning. So it's kind of the first thing that starts to happen in your brain, but it will continue to happen. The more you drink, the more you're turning on the calming GABA system and you're just chilling out your brain, maybe a little too much. So obviously that's an extreme case, but it is something to be aware of. So after this, oh, go ahead, Heather.
I just think like, you know, when your brain, if you look like you're, if you look at a lamp and the lamp is bright and then it starts to dim.
Yeah.
This is what came up for me visually when I was listening to you. So you kind of start to dim yourself with the ethanol, alcohol.
Right away. Yeah, exactly. I love that you just called it ethanol too. I think that that's super empowering. That's something I learned from Annie Grace's book, This Naked Mind, and it stuck with me. Like that's something that has powered me through. So after we start turning on the calming GABA system, all of a sudden your frontal cortex starts turning off. And this is why when we set out to drink 1 or 2 drinks, we tend to drink more because our frontal cortex is the part of our brain that keeps us in control. And without it, we start to lose control. So it totally makes sense when people say, I always just wanted to have one. Yeah, me too. Me too, friend. I wanted to have just one as well.
Same. Same.
But unfortunately, the way alcohol works, it turns off the part of your brain that says, hey, you should probably stop now. Instead, it's like, do whatever you want. I have no control anymore. So that's just wild.
Yeah. Like your prefrontal cortex is in the front of your brain, like your actual forehead. And if you do a triangle, like on your forehead, as an example, that is the prefrontal cortex. It's our decision-making part of our brain. So this is like perfect example of like maybe why we make poor choices. And as I say in the Daymakers community, this is my very unclinical definition. When we quit drinking, we can think with our whole brain.
Exactly. And it's powerful. I feel like that's why a lot of times people are like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm seeing life in HD after I quit drinking. You'll hear that a lot. And it's because, oh my God, your brain is working. And what a gift. So as you start to drink more, you enter a blood alcohol level that puts you over the legal limit to drive. So this is when we get to that point and your brain stops producing glutamate. And this is the neurotransmitter that turns our brain back on. So GABA is calming us down, and then glutamate comes into work to turn your brain back on. And all of a sudden, glutamate's not being produced anymore. So your brain is just not working the way it's supposed to throughout the day, because all day long, your brain actually does have GABA enter and then glutamate, and it should just be this really equal balance happening. But now you don't have that function. And then next, your serotonin levels increase. And this makes us more empathetic. I loved learning this part. This is what makes you think people are more attractive than maybe you would initially see them as a sober person, because attractive is different to every single person, right? But this is why. Maybe you kissed that guy that the next day you go, oh, that's not my type. Or you became best friends with someone where the next day you go, I was talking to who at the bar all night long?
Yep.
And this works similarly to ecstasy. So you've taken your second drug.
Right. With your beer goggles on.
Exactly.
You've made a best friend and you don't remember their name the next morning.
Oh my God. I made best friends that I would annoy and they would leave while I was drunk because I was drunk and they possibly were not, but they were my best friend. So many best friends. Oh my God. My husband having to pull me out of bars being like, it's time to go. Oh, but I made a best friend. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
That was all these brain chemicals that, you know, kind of took control of your social event, really. Gosh,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Exactly. It's wild. So then next, I believe we have two more things that are going to happen in your brain. So if you're like, oh my gosh, what else? Well, there's two more things. Then dopamine is released. Now, when I first started diving into all this, I thought dopamine was the only thing that really happened when you drank. Like, that's the one main thing we hear about the most. But it's actually after this long list of things that's already happened. So dopamine's released, and dopamine gives us drive, motivation, and energy. And this is why some people say, when I do chores, I drink. It gives me more energy. And guess what drug this is similar to? Cocaine.
Yep.
So now you've taken your third drug, and you're getting an energy boost. So I know you were a person who drank to get things done.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I was not.
You know, give me some wine. I've cleaned the house, decorate, you know, just start painting, you know, I have heard many people say that, like, okay, I'm going to paint my living room. Well, of course, I'm going to have a beer or wine while I'm painting, right?
Oh, yeah. Right.
That went hand in hand. But in the here and now, like, I can't make that make sense anymore.
I know. I was never a, drink and get things done. Like, my motivation went way down when I drank. And it also made, I'm a person who is always busy. It's a problem. Mm-hmm. I'm working on it because I realize I do need a rest. But drinking actually made my brain not feel like it needed to tackle all the crazy things happening in my life, not feel bad about the laundry, not feel bad about this. But if you are a person that you're like, but I clean the house, that's how I clean the house. Well, it's because it's giving you dopamine and you can actually learn to get that from other places. Now, what dopamine did do for me when I would drink was it made me louder. It made me think that I was more enthusiastic. But what it actually did was made me more obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that this is why people may be caught, why stupid fights start or arguments. Because at first I saw that I was like, well, I didn't fight when I was drunk. I'm not a fighter. And I was like, but I did argue. I bickered with my husband over stupid things. And this is really similar to marijuana. It gave that to me too, where I would be like, I'm just more bold. I'm more open when I'm this way. No, my dopamine levels were rising, but they were making me bicker. They were making me say stupid things. So the dopamine release is what lays down the groundwork for addiction. And then you get hooked on the energy and the fun and you keep coming back. And
yeah.
I think that's why people talk about the dopamine a lot, because it is the addictive piece.
Yeah, totally. I mean, just to break it down really simple, like from a chemical perspective, right? You've got the ethanol, which in the medical field, when I worked at the hospital, someone would come in, they would take their blood alcohol level. It would be, let's say, 8 times over the legal limit. And clinically, we write down our type ETOH, which is the chemical symbol for alcohol, ethanol. So I just wanted to say that. And then you're chasing all these chemicals and you're essentially chasing a 15-minute high.
Yeah, because it really is, nothing tops the first 15 minutes of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't. And I know I was always chasing the maintenance of that. If I could just learn how to maintain that, then it would be perfect. But I couldn't, obviously.
Right.
Turns out I wasn't so good at that. So the very last thing that happens is endorphins. And these are your brain's natural opioids. We've done one more drug. They make you stop feeling pain and are associated with a runner's high. And that's something that made a lot of sense to me. At the time where I quit drinking, my back was giving me a lot of pain. I wouldn't feel it as much when I was drunk. it helped me feel like, oh, my back doesn't hurt. I feel like I can conquer the world. I feel like I can do anything. All of those things, because you're getting those endorphins. And I will say that the two things that I chase from my drinking days still are endorphins and dopamine. But
yeah,
it's taken me a while to go, what do I chase from my drinking? Like, what's the thing that drove me to drink? And it was really those two.
Yeah. Yeah. And your body. And I just want to say, I'm just a social worker, life coach, podcaster, mama. But your body is like a pharmacy. And when you take the booze out that creates all these chemicals over time, when you're thinking with your whole brain, it kind of settles. And your body truly is a pharmacy. And these natural opioids and dopamines and serotonins can like all come together and do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. It may take a while. And I think sometimes people are expecting it to, you know, fix everything. And it might not. It might make you actually see, okay, this is an issue that I need to fix within my brain. This is something I don't produce enough of naturally. But this way you can actually find out. Instead of like, I've actually had people write in my comments on TikTok, like, I use alcohol to self-medicate. And I'm like, well, it's not a great choice because you have no idea how much you're consuming. And there's so many different variables in place, because in this book, he then goes on to talk about like, well, what if you've eaten before you drink? What if you haven't eaten before you drink? So if you are listening to this and you're like, I want more of this information, go check out the book so you can just start picking it up and reading it when you want a little more information. That's how I use it. I have not read it all the way from start to finish. I have used it as a resource, and I think it's a valuable resource to have.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, y'all.
Yeah. But as you can see, as you go through all these and you see all the things that alcohol can give us, and I don't like to think about it that way, but all the things that alcohol can cause within our brain, it's why it appeals to so many people. It's why you can meet so many different people and they all like alcohol, because you can use it to numb out from stress. You can use it to get energy. You can use it to feel more social. You can use it to stop feeling physical pain. So it can fix a lot of things, fix in quotation marks, because it doesn't actually fix anything. It is a quick change in your brain. And then your brain has to do all this healing. So,
yep. Yeah, it's a lot. And I just want to say, like, you're not alone. And if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, wait, but I drink to do every single thing that Sarah just said, you are also not alone.
No, so. Not at all. And when I say like, oh, I drink to chase the energy, the endorphins, the dopamine, I also drink to relieve stress. I also drank to make myself not feel lonely. I also drank so I didn't feel FOMO. Like, there were all these other things in there too, but those are my two most prominent. When I'm feeling itchy, I will kind of think, what can I do to get dopamine? What can I do to get endorphins? And then figure out if there's some way. So we're actually going to tell you all the things you can do to help all of these areas in your brain. So this is where it's like, whoa, this might feel like a lot. So if it does, just maybe do a first pass-through listen where you take it in, and then a second one where you're like, okay, now I'm going to go and take some notes if you're a person that's like wants this information. Like, this is stuff that I give the Daymakers regularly. We talk about this over and over and over, so they hear it over and over. So you can do the same thing by listening to this podcast a few times. So the first thing we're going to do to replace our buzz, we talked about glutamate and GABA at the very beginning. And remember, GABA is the thing that makes us feel calm. And then glutamate is the thing that turns the brain back on. So we need to rebuild these areas in our brain or support these areas in our brain. And the best way to do this is through diet and stress management, something that we talk about a lot, don't we?
Yes, we really, really do. And it is so hard to like delineate sometimes like why we do this and how we fix this. So I'm really excited that we've got some like tangible things that you can do. No matter where you are on your journey, to have like a soft landing place.
Yeah. And one thing I want you to notice too, is we talk about the different ways like to get dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, GABA, start seeing which things happen in each category, because there are some repeats, and me and Heather will call it out at the end as well, but start seeing those so you can go, oh, okay, I should start making these things a priority. So the first thing with that diet and with diet is eating healthy fats like omega-3s, and you can get those from fish, flax seeds, and chia seeds, or an omega-3 supplement. That's what I do because I don't eat a lot of those foods. When they list those off, I'm like, oh, that's not a regular part of my diet. So because I know I drank for so long, I have an omega-3 supplement. So do some research. I am not going to offer supplement advice because I think that's something that you should do with your doctor or research on your own. And I am not a doctor. So I want you to go ahead and research that for yourself, but it's something to add in. And then foods to increase GABA. These are ones that you can eat regularly. And I looked at these. I was like, okay, I can add these in. So bananas, I eat those a lot.
I do
broccoli,
too.
I know. I was like, that's my go-to fruit. It's quick. I'm like always like, it's quick to eat a banana. So eat a banana. It'll chill you out. Isn't that nice? Broccoli, brown rice, citrus, fish, lentils, nuts, spinach, oats, and whole grains. So please don't go on a low-carb diet. Your brain needs these oats and whole grains. Go eat them up. So, and if you just heard that and you're like, well, I don't like fish, then maybe you like nuts. So add that in. Okay. I'm not saying eat all of these every single day. I'm saying here's some ideas.
Yeah. A cool thing to do that I currently do is I make a smoothie and it covered like so much that you just said. It's quick and easy. I can drink it going from A to B. And I'm getting the chia seeds, I'm getting the fruits and like the spinach, but it's all in one big Yeti cup.
Yep. And then you can just sip on it and get all those things. And the one thing to note about flax seeds is they do not digest in your body unless you've ground them up. So putting them into a smoothie is the best way to do that if you're going to integrate flax seeds. And I think that's just the best, like flax seeds and chia seeds in a smoothie, the best thing to add.
Yes.
I've been missing that. I don't have a blender in my life yet. We're getting there. Get this house finished so I can plug in a blender again. So then the other thing you want to do is reduce stress. And we're going to talk about this in a number of ways, but we talk about it all the time. Meditate, journal. We have an episode on journaling. Go listen to it. I'll put it in the show notes so you can go like, okay, I'm going to go get that journaling episode now. Think about starting your morning each day with a slower start. I talk about my morning routine a lot. What it does for me is it eases me into my day. I don't wake up to my kids bothering me, not bothering me, just being children. I don't wake up to my kids, my husband, everybody right there. I wake up to just me. And it's a nice slow start. Okay. So think about adding that in and then have some activities to do at your own home to help you de-stress. Breathe in your car. I know Heather has offered breathing techniques before. And then one thing I used to do when I was a teacher is I would sit in my car for 5 more minutes before I'd go in the house. Yeah. Like I had done the drive. I had listened to a podcast that I liked, but I would still chill because I would go from other people's kids to my own kids. It was a transition.
When I first started my journey, I was listening to a podcast, We Can Do Hard Things, actually. And there was a person on there talking about how they have to take deep breaths at red lights because they forget to breathe. And luckily, our body does it for us. But if you're really stressed, a tip, when you see a stop sign or a red light, take a deep breath.
Oh, I love that. And it's almost like because you can stop and breathe and just give yourself that moment. So those are some of those ways to remember how to add those reducing stress techniques. And we have a whole episode on reducing stress as well. So I'll link that. The next thing I want you to start thinking about is to get dopamine naturally. So this is something I try to make TikToks on regularly because it was the first thing I learned about like, oh, your brain produces this dopamine when you drink. How can you get it in different ways? Dopamine enables motivation, learning, and pleasure, and it gives you determination to accomplish the goals that you're seeking to go out and bring into your life. So dopamine is super important. It is one thing when people talk about like, I feel so low when they've just quit drinking. It's because your dopamine source has been cut off and the way you were getting it regularly is not there. So your brain is like, I don't have any motivation to do anything. So you need to start doing these things, which is hard when you don't have motivation, but luckily a lot of them are really easy. So the first thing that you can start doing is getting outside and soaking up the sun. How easy is that? You don't have any motivation?
Right.
Go lay in the sun.
To step outside. That's what I do. I'll go check the mailbox, even if it's not sunny. Mm-hmm. Just going outside, walking to my mailbox and back. I mean, that's just a quick dopamine hit.
Yeah, exactly. And you guys start thinking about like, this is a little dopamine hit throughout your day. Really start being like, okay, this is something I'm going to add in and it's on purpose. The next thing, super fun, dancing. I don't want to hear anybody saying, oh, I can't dance, though. Who cares? Just wiggle your body to music. Nobody's watching you. I promise.
Yes. Do a car dance. I do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. I'm super cool in my car. I don't know about anybody else.
I'm like the coolest.
Me, too. I'm just going to say the same thing. When I'm in my car, I'm on a different level. In my minivan, I am just the coolest.
Yep.
The next thing you can add in are workouts. If you're like, oh, Sarah, you keep mentioning working out. I hate it. All you got to do is walk. I'm not telling you to go crazy. This morning I did a yoga routine and it wasn't even yoga. I looked up stretching because I was like, I do not want to hold yoga poses for a long time. I want to stretch. So go on YouTube, look up stretching. You will find a world of information there. Meditation is on this dopamine list again, and it was on the other list. So start thinking about that. The one fun thing to do to get dopamine is make a list and cross things off the list. Make it simple, you guys. Don't be like, today I'm going to do this really big project that I've been putting off for a whole long time. Don't do that. That's not what we're saying. Say, sometimes I write down, keep the tiny humans alive.
Yeah.
So then the next day I can cross it off and I can go, I did it. Like,
absolutely.
Make dinner. Like, write down things on the list that you know you're going to do anyway just to get that dopamine hit.
Yeah. It's a genius way to reframe and keep it moving.
Yeah. And I think people, like when you say write a to-do list, like if you're anything like me, you start writing down everything in the world that you ever wanted to do. And then I have to be like, no. How about brush your teeth?
Yeah. Keep it real simple.
Yeah. And then the other thing is to start creating things. The more you create, the more dopamine starts coming into your brain. And it just perpetuates that creativity circle, which is pretty awesome. Again, don't overthink the create something. You guys make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You are a peanut butter and jelly artist.
Right. Like doodle. When you're in a meeting, doodle.
Yep. I was in choir rehearsal yesterday and they were working with a different section. And it's like, we're just learning all of the new music and it's kind of the boring part of rehearsal. I was sitting there just doodling flowers on my music. Just creating little drawings that I know my people kept looking over my shoulder and looking at them, but gave me something to do, made me feel more invested in the rehearsal, honestly. So think about that. Just think of going out, doing a little meditation, getting your sun soaking in, and really think, okay, I'm going to make these things happen in my life. I'm going to be intentional about them.
Yes. And I think like these things are so simple. And if you try to, as a person who tends to overthink and overcomplicate things.
Yeah, me too.
I just want you to know that if all you do, like when we're talking about dancing, put on your headphones, pull up Beyonce's new country song and give it a wiggle in your chair. Nobody going to see you. It's all good.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. I have a playlist that I know is my go-to playlist. It says running playlist, but all it is music that really pumps me up. So if I happen to be running, which I haven't done in a really long time, I know it will pump me up, but when I'm in my car driving and I'm kind of feeling low, that's the playlist I'll turn on because I know I've got Dua Lipa and Demi Lovato and all my badass girls are in there that are going to cheer me on and pump me up. So get yourself a playlist if you don't have one.
Definitely.
Are you ready to move into serotonin?
Yeah.
Okay. Serotonin makes you feel significant among your peers. So that's kind of like a little confidence booster, which I know I was lacking when I first quit drinking because probably I wasn't getting that serotonin anymore. And I do know that when I drank, I felt more confident. I had a false sense of confidence when I would drink. So if you're low on it, you might be feeling overly sensitive. You might have mood swings. You might feel hopeless, have social phobia. I know I kind of had that in my first month or so of being alcohol free. And I cracked it up to like, well, I don't want to socialize. Everything I did revolved around alcohol, but it may also be because your serotonin's low. So let's dive into how we can actually get it. One way is to socialize and connect with friends. That might feel really hard when you're having this social phobia feeling, right? So text a friend. I say it all the time. Texting is like God's gift to introverts.
Yeah. Because if you're sitting here listening, like, I do one-on-one sessions with folks and I hear a lot of like, I thought I was an extrovert and I'm an ambivert. I don't know if I'm ever saying that right. The middle, right? Where like you're an extrovert because you've got all these chemicals going through your brain produced my alcohol. No, you don't have them anymore. And you're like awkward at socializing. And that's why.
Like, yeah, it's, and it's okay. Okay. You love that text, we both said at the same time.
I know. You can text a friend and kind of hide behind the phone and just kind of like ease out. Just take good care of yourself. Take it easy. But this is fascinating because so many people are like, but I thought I was an extrovert.
Yeah. I've always known I was an introvert, and alcohol gave me the edge up. And I was kind of like, what am I going to do without it? I will never socialize again. I started to crave it again, and I started to find it in my ways, and it comes back. So don't worry, you will get there. And I feel too, like now I really get to own my introverted self, and it's nice. So the next thing you can do for serotonin, cold showers. I'm not doing that, but some people do. Some people do the cold bath.
I have started ending my shower in ice cold water.
Oh, man. I am proud of you.
I've done it twice. And I feel like I need some kind of medal. So I highly recommend it, but it's a little difficult. Just heads up.
Yeah, I hate being cold. Hate it. And I'm cold a lot. Like, I feel like it's my natural body temperature is cold. So I'm like, no way. But don't worry, you can also soak up sunlight for serotonin. So that's an overlap from dopamine. Another thing you can do is treat yourself to a massage. So get a little physical touch. Get a little massage in the muscles, and the serotonin will start coming in. And you can even tell your spouse, like, I have to do this. My serotonin levels are low. And they might not know what you're talking about, so they'll just go, okay, whatever. And then this one we've seen on other lists, exercise. Oh, my gosh, here it comes again. I'm sorry to tell you.
I'm seeing a pattern.
Right? Okay, do you feel good about serotonin? Are you ready to go to endorphins?
Yeah.
Okay. So endorphins, this one was big for me when I started figuring this out. We had a member of the Daymakers community, and they would talk about like this feeling of FOMO all this time. Like, I just want to go out and I want to do crazy things like I used to do when I'd go party. And now I just can't figure out how to do that. And I finally figured it out. I was like, you need an endorphin rush. Like, we've got to figure out how to get the endorphins for you. So endorphins will release a brief euphoria to mask physical pain. And it's our body's response to pain and stress that alleviate anxiety and depression. So there's a lot of things happening there. But it's when people talk about a runner's high, running is not comfortable for like the first mile. It's just like, ugh. Then all of a sudden your body releases endorphins. And then that's when you're like, oh my God, I'm flying. I'm the fastest runner in the world. I feel amazing. That's how it happens. So how can you get it naturally? Because if you've ever had a runner's high, it's the best. Have you had one?
I have not. So I am really excited about how to get it without me having to run a mile.
Right? Exactly. Because running a mile is not for everybody. My kids are in middle school and they have to run the mile. And I'm always like, oh, I hated doing that. So don't worry. I wasn't always like I am now. So the first thing, this is my favorite, laughing. I love to laugh. I'm like, is that Buddy the Elf? Oh, smiling. Smiling is my favorite. Laughing is my favorite.
Yeah, I did this yesterday. I had a really busy day and I put on a funny podcast, and it was the type of podcast that you could listen to without like getting super hyper focused, which is great for me because I was driving, and I just giggled every once in a while. And it really did help because it was raining. Like, it was all the recipe for a nasty day. So I highly recommend trying to find something that makes you laugh. Funny podcast, a movie. Tell dad jokes or whatever, like
reels.
Like cute chicken videos. 10 out of 10 recommend.
Yes, cute chicken videos. That's how I communicate with my children sometimes, texting them duck and chicken videos. I'm like, we're keeping the communication alive here. You guys, funny podcasts, if you're looking for some, I love Smartless, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. The Handsome Pod, my all-time favorite.
That's like, what I was listening to yesterday.
I cannot get enough of those three.
Yeah.
I can be in the worst mood and I can listen to the Handsome Podcast and I'm better. Like, it's good. So go listen to those three, check them out. I'll try to remember to put those in the show notes. But, and then the cool thing about the podcast algorithm is once you start listening to some, it starts to say, because you listened to Handsome, you might like this. Because you listened to Smartless, you might like this. So if you need a good laugh, you can go the opposite of laughing for endorphins, and you can cry. So it's a whole nother week.
I did this yesterday, too.
Right? I think I cried yesterday, too. I did. Yeah. I listened. I was going to do what I'm going to tell you right now. Have a song that always makes you cry. It's a go-to. Like, mine is Sarah Bareilles' Gravity. It gets me every time.
Yesterday, mine was I Believe in You by the Indigo Girls. Very lesbian cry moment in my vein.
You need it. Yeah. I love, I'm like, I got to have the, I had one yesterday that got me that I haven't listened to in a long time. It was like a college song and it was all about starting over and it just really, we're selling our house, yada, yada, yada. But it was like, gave me the feels of like, oh my gosh, and I'm pulling up to my house and I'm like, okay, getting the cries out, getting the endorphins going. Another thing you can do is create music or art. We talked about creating too for dopamine. So get in there, start figuring. Heather talks a lot about diamond dot painting.
I swear by it.
There you go. You can get to that. You do not have to be the best musician in the room or the best artist. Just create something. And then the next ones are kind of fun because they're right up my alley. Eating dark chocolate will give you endorphins. Yes, I knew it was good for something. And eating spicy food. I love spicy food. I used to hate it growing up. Oh, good.
I love it. And the cool thing about the dark chocolate, if you get the Dove, it'll tell you something cool in the wrapper.
So yes, it does.
Dark chocolate and like a little quote that says plan the trip. Mm-hmm. So it's a double win in my
opinion. I love that. That's the best advice I think we've given. Write it down. Get your bag of Dove chocolate. I was like, I had some from Valentine's Day and I kept giving me love messages. And I was like, that's right. Love is the answer. All right. The next one's one that's been on every single one, exercise. So there you go. It's out there. You guys know you got to do it. Massage is on this list too for endorphins, and then meditate. And then other ones that I like to add into people for fun, go get a tattoo. It's an endorphin rush. I know Heather's got some scheduled for March.
I do. I am going to add to the abundance that I already have.
I love it. I didn't get my first one until I was in my 40s. And I was like, this was the coolest thing I've ever done. I can't wait to get more and more and more. I always told myself I'd wait till my old age to start the habit. It's because I knew I'd get addicted. I'm so smart.
I'm glad you were sober when you got your first tattoo, because you might have like a whole lot.
I might have a whole lot that say silly things. And I am happy. Like, my tattoo, I feel like it's a little crazy and out there for the first one that I got, and maybe seems a little out of character to some people. It's two snakes, if nobody knows. And I'm not a snake person, but I love it so much. And I can make the snakes dance on my arm and it brings me immense joy.
Yeah. I just want to say one more thing about tattoos. I got a majority of the ones that I have after I quit drinking.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Because you have more money.
Exactly.
So that was my thing too. I felt guilty. I was like, I can't go get a tattoo. I don't have money for a tattoo. I have my kids that I need to worry about it. And I was like, wait a second. I haven't drank for 3 years is when I got my first tattoo. When it was my 3-year sober gift to myself, because Heather told me I should do it. Whoops. And now I just keep dreaming about the sleeve. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. So anyway, sorry, we went on a tangent, but I always throw that one out there for people because I just think it's so funny. And it's always, and also I've seen skydiving listed to get endorphins. I'm like, do it if you want to, but I'm not telling you you have to, because I am not. But maybe watch people skydive. All right. So that's it. Those are the ways you can recreate all those chemicals in our brain that we need, that alcohol gives us in quotation marks, but we can give it to ourselves in a healthier way. So I really hope that this information made you be like, yes, yes, yes. Because that's how I feel when I learn all this stuff. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, it's so empowering. I think just knowing this stuff, and, you know, I was 40 or 39 years old and I think I'm pretty smart, but I honestly just did not know. A big part of it is I didn't want to know.
Yes.
I knew it when I was at work. This is what I've done my whole life, but I didn't want to know it.
Yep. And there are a number of reasons I don't drink, but this one motivates me a lot when I think about the damage that it does to your brain. When you think about you drink one thing and it's equal to Valium, cocaine, ecstasy, and then opioids. Like when you look at that and you go, oh my God. And when people say, oh, I drink alcohol, but I don't do drugs. Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah. Like, I know that's really controversial, but it is a scientific fact. It is it's factual.
Heather got so worked up about that she had to hit her desk.
I had a visceral reaction to that.
So the one thing I also want to make you think about is what were the repeats in those areas so you can get more bangs for your buck when you're working on getting all these chemicals into your brain. Meditation was on most of them, and so was exercise. So seriously, take a look at that. Think, do I do this in my life? How can I incorporate it in? But really take this seriously. Like, your number one priority in life is taking care of you. And this is not about working out or eating healthy or quitting drinking so you lose weight and look good. It is about taking care of your mental and your physical health. And it is so important. So really think about this and start incorporating some of these things into your daily routines and habits. And you're going to start to notice that the cravings happen less and less because your body is already full of what alcohol is trying to offer it and you're getting it naturally.
Yeah. I really encourage all of you to like do some more research if this piqued your interest or this resonates, share it and really like start researching and truly know that knowledge is power. And our goal here is just to kind of set you up, I guess, in a different way, in a different perspective.
Yeah, for sure. And I know this one was a little bit longer than our regular episodes, but it is because it was so much information to pack into. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, be sure to leave a rating, a review. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, because that is one way to boost us. People keep saying, I'm loving the podcast. I love the information that we're getting. Well, one way you can support us that is so simple is by subscribing. So hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. And then you're notified when I get a little thing on my phone in the morning that the Handsome podcast has been released on Tuesday, as well as the No More Wasted Days podcast.
Yeah. Give us a follow. Give us a rating.
Yeah. All right, guys. And check out the links in the show notes for Daymakers community and one-on-one coaching with Heather. And we will see you on the next one.
All right. Bye, y'all.